KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Julie.
We are very excited to have another very special guest with us today, and I'll let you make the introductions.
Well, this is another person that I'm a big fan of, and he knows it. And I'm very happy that he was able to put us into his schedule and get to come over and chat. The show is only going to be half an hour, but I can talk to Moses for hours and hours. I follow him on Twitter. He cracks me up all the time. His name is Moses Menchaca. He is the ASI president for Fresno State, which stands for Associated Students Incorporated. He's a political science major, and he is one of the most impressive young men you would ever meet. The first time that I met Moses was when President Castro and I came to Fresno State for our first campus visit. I shook his hand, we said hello, and that was it. And along with several other people that we met on that whirlwind day. The first time that I got to see him in action was at a summit for redevelopment for the El Dorado Park neighborhood. And he was very kind and invited me to sit at the table with the rest of the ASI leaders. And then he gave a speech. And I was very impressed with his presence, with his great speaking skills. And then as time has passed, the last 6 months, getting to see Moses in a lot of different lights. And most of the time, if there's an event on campus that President Castro speaks at, Moses speaks. So I'm really happy that he's able to be here today and that I get to introduce him to all of you. Thank you for coming today, Moses.
Thank you, Mrs. Castro. Thank you for such a kind introduction. It really has been a pleasure these last couple months.
Well, what I love about Moses' story is that he has a real strong foundation with his family. And everybody knows that that's very important with President Castro and myself. And I'd like for him to talk a little bit about where he was born and about his relationship with his first mentors in his life, his parents and his grandparents.
Well, I was born in East San Jose, and I lived there for about 10 years. And then my parents decided to move out of Patterson from that point, or to Patterson. But one thing that I was able to see in San Jose was my parents' joy for hard work and the understanding that with hard work, you can really go anywhere. And my dad actually never finished high school because my parents had me kind of young. Mm-hmm. They said I was a surprise miracle. So they had me really young. So my dad went straight to construction, and you know, wind, rain, shine, sun, whether he was sick or not, he was always going to his work. Always giving 110% effort. Sometimes there were stories where he would accidentally cut himself really bad where he needed stitches, but would tie it up and continue to work because he realized that that was the way that he had to provide for his family.
Yes.
And through that, he kind of was able to move up the ranks and eventually got his GED and his general license contractor or general contractor's license, where he's able to do his own side work. So he kind of served as a major role and a big mentor. He was my hunting buddy as well. And my mom, the sweetest person on the earth, I had to tell you. I'm surprised she was able to keep up with me and my dad all these years. But she just always approaches everything with so much joy, and I did get my dancing moves from her.
Okay. Well, and I like that you say that your grandparents were also major role models for you. Over the Christmas break, you sent out some photos on Twitter that I shared with President Castro, and let me tell you, he was very jealous. There was a platter, Julie, of tamales, beans, rice, the most incredible salsa. And I love how Moses said that his grandma told him something like this, that said, oh, mijo, you're getting a little thick. Here, have some more tamales.
You know, my grandma, God, she's an angel. And every time it's like that, she's always got food on the table. She's always trying to give me more. And as she's giving me more, she's commenting about how well I'm eating and I'm not missing a meal.
And then you can always count on family to tell you the truth.
Always. And they all do, without hesitation, including my little sisters. But I tell you, those are the best tamales that you will ever eat.
They look like it.
They were amazing.
Okay, now I'm hungry.
Even the husk looked good.
Scraped the moss off of that one with my fork.
And you also said that your grandmother had a live life attitude. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
To this very day, I can't even keep up with her. her favorite place to go is Great America. She's got a season pass.
Aww.
She sits there and talks about all the roller coasters ride. For her 50th birthday, she jumped out of an airplane.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's talking about wanting to go parasailing. And, you know, the older she gets, the more and more energy she's getting. So I always tell her, Grandma, at this rate, you're going to outlive me.
Well, then I can see where you get your pep from.
I can't keep up with her, I'll tell you. The second she walks into a place, she's ready to order everybody, tell everybody what to do, and then you don't do it fast enough, so she'll do your job for you.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like your grandma's a natural leader.
Yeah, definitely.
It must be in the genes. You say that your grandpa, that his personality was very calm and that he's always had a real cool outlook on life. And you also said that he's the person who taught you how to fish and shoot.
My grandpa, he's got every single thing you could think of in his garage. The other day when I was over at their house, during summer actually, I was in there and looking around and I found a bow and arrow just kind of tucked in the corner, and I asked about it and he said, what? You want it? So now I have a bow and arrow in my room that I've never shot before.
And you've never seen it before?
Never seen it before, ever. He gave me my first 12 gauge, and we used to always go out, and fishing was a big one for him. Every time I have a question about any kind of fishing trip or the fishing trips that I used to go on, it was always with my grandpa. And one of the things that I'm kind of focused on is beating his fish. He had a 64 inch striper that he had caught one time, so my
wow.
goal
oh good
is
luck
to beat
beating
that.
How much did that weigh?
I think it was around 30 pounds. So
oh my
huge,
goodness
huge.
And did he save it to where he has it displayed, or
you took a picture and they ate it? So
was he the person who took you out on your first hunt?
Actually, that was my dad, but he took my dad out shooting, and so my yeah. dad was able to learn a lot from there and then take it over to us. But when he was younger, he got hurt, so he's not as mobile as he used to be. Mm-hmm. So he's always got his little scooter around, and he'll take that to Walmart whenever we go fishing. And he's really one of the funniest guys. As we go around, you'll find somebody in crutches, and you'll say, you want to jump on? I'll give you a ride. And so, you know, he's just really really takes everything kind of like fishing, you know, enjoying the scenery, but really in it for the game, and in a calm, cool, collective nature.
And
always.
You told me he has such a great sense of humor that people in the neighborhood tease him about putting hydraulics on his scooter.
yeah, he's we call those grandpa jokes, you know, the ones where you just kind of shake your head and chuckle, but I see them more and more nowadays.
Well, are those grandparents your father's parents or your mother's parents?
Those ones are my mother's parents.
Your mother's. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have a hunting and fishing kind of background from both sides then.
Yeah, my dad's family is actually from Texas, so I remember going a lot of times fishing with my dad and his dad as well.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited to go back to Texas sometime soon so I can kind of get that old Texan kind of feel and get back to the Menchaca roots.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, something that I admire about you is that I can see you dressed out for a football game in all of your sportswear. I can see you in your boots and your belt at the Florida Georgia Line concert having a great time. And I know you got a cowboy hat somewhere. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen you with your hunting cap, and I've seen you in a suit. Mm-hmm. And you're comfortable in every situation. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's important at a young age. You've learned how to balance it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you're a very hard worker. There's no denying that. You pop up everywhere. But along with that, you also know how to cherish and value your roots. Mm-hmm. And to keep connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to serve you well if you continue to do that as you get older and as you, you know, have your family, that's going to be something that'll serve you well.
And I really think I could relate that back to, you know, the root and what I'm able to do now, because my dad has always driven me to look towards the future, mm-hmm. but, you know, live in the moment. And whether it's in my cowboy boots or dressed up in a tie, you know, just being able to cherish that time of relaxation or looking back at where you're at now and
right.
where you've been able to come and more importantly, where you're going in the future.
I love it. Now, you said that it was after the fifth grade that your parents and your family moved to Patterson. You have two little sisters.
Yeah, blessings. Two little blessings.
What are their names?
Priscilla and Rebecca. Priscilla is currently a sophomore in high school, and Rebecca is a freshman.
Now, are they as energetic as you are?
Well, I would have to say, yeah. And they keep me up. You know, when I go back home, I get the couch, because the second I moved out, my other sister got the room.
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I get the couch, and they like to stay up and watch movies, and eventually I got to tell them, you got to go to bed. But I hear them in their room, and, you know, they're constantly always going, and they keep me young. They keep my mom young as well.
That's it, because if she sits back, you guys will just take over, huh? So when you were in Patterson, it looks like you were very involved in athletics. Mm-hmm. And you played football. You were also in track and field. You received awards for being the most improved player, the best offensive player, most valuable player during your freshman year. So it seems like you, at that stage of your life, athletics was the thing that really caught your eye, and that's where you poured your most of your energy into.
And it really, I think it kind of stemmed from a family event. Every football game we'd go to would be my grandparents, the grandparents on my dad's side, my parents, my sisters, and everybody kind of rallied around that. And at the same time, I think a lot of the leadership qualities that I have today stem from being on the football field, whether it was playing running back or quarterback, and that whole team mentality that each individual has a job to do. But at the same time, it's when everybody's doing their job that we move forward and we make the touchdowns or we stop the offense. And I really think that's kind of translated a lot into what I take into ASI today and what I've been able to bring to the university at my while I was here at Fresno State.
Now, did you have a special coach that stood out that you really bonded with while you were there?
I did. His name was Coach Chapman. He was actually in the military. One thing that he was always looking forward to do is kind of treating you like a man. And I know one thing, being in high school and being in junior high, is you're kind of seen as a kid, but he held you at man responsibilities. And one thing that I think really helped us out was that we looked to the man to the left and looked to the man to the right on the team, and each man is counting on each other.
Right.
And I just all the jokes that he used to crack and, you know, calling us little girls, but not so in a nice way. really, you know, kind of gives you that drive. I have to always try, always want to do better, and to be able to hear good job from the coach kind of was the gift that you can expect after, you know, everything, and always looking for what's the next play that we're going to do. You scored this touchdown, but act like you've done it before.
And you wanted to make him proud.
Absolutely, absolutely. And him and my dad hung out a lot, so felt like I had two dads at one point and two dads yelling at you when you dropped the ball or fumbled.
I've had the pleasure of meeting your girlfriend, Lindsay Fidler. Mm-hmm. And it was while you were in Patterson that you met her. She's a liberal studies major here at Fresno State, and she's also a very talented student. I know that she has a high GPA. She's as involved as you are. You're quite a dynamic duo. Tell me about when you met Lindsay.
The first time I actually met her was in seventh grade, and I was notorious for going around and asking for quarters because I love the Swiss cake rolls that they used to sell, and they reach a quarter. So it was easy. I'd go around, hey, can I borrow a quarter? And people would give me a quarter. And she was the first person that told me no. That didn't rub too well. You know, being in a small town, you're best friends with everybody. So we've always been friends. And it was junior year when we started dating. And she's kind of, I think, I don't know if I want to say she's the motivation or if it's a competition between us. In my junior year, I got less than a 2.6 GPA. I was a little lower my first semester. But second semester is when we started dating. And I saw that she had gotten 4.0s, 4.2s, 4.3s. So I didn't like that.
Yeah.
So,
pressure.
Yeah, pressure, definitely. So it drove me. And my last three semesters were 4.0, 4.6, and 4.2 in high school.
All right. But,
you know, I got to give her the props for hanging in there and all my crazy ideas. And I say, you know, I'm going to run for ASI president. She always says, do it. I dare you. So
that's
it's been great to have her around. And, you know, we're always competing, but it's that friendly competition where she's involved in ASI. She's involved in some of the clubs. And
right. You really compliment each other.
Absolutely. And the best compliment is, you know, I don't have a car, so she's always able to drive me around. And Gotta give her props for that one.
Well, then she must be driving you all over because I see you all over the place. You said that the first time that you visited Fresno State, you fell in love with the campus and you didn't want to attend any other campus. What was it about Fresno State that made you feel like that?
I don't know if there's a word for it, and the word I usually use is homey. You know, I walked on a campus and I felt like I was at a university, but it wasn't tall buildings, and we had just came from Santa Barbara, and looking at that school, it didn't really feel like where I wanted to be. But when I stepped on to Fresno State, it felt like home. And I thought that might have just been something I experienced. But when we hosted CSSA and had student presidents from all 23 CSUs, they echoed the same exact response. So I think Fresno State has this ability to not only make you feel like you're at this university where you walk around and you think, man, I'm in college, but it just also feels like you're at home, and it's a place where you can just relax and you can say that you're from Fresno State and be proud about it.
Well, I think every campus has a personality, and it's important for students to go out and visit campuses so that they can, like you said, you can walk onto one, it's beautiful, but it just isn't the right fit. And then you walk onto the one that is, and especially when you have such a here, the faculty, the staff, everybody wants you to succeed. They're welcoming, they're supportive. And when you, as a student, come on to that, it only builds your chances of actually reaching all your goals.
Absolutely. And one thing that was lucky for me was my parents didn't go to college. I never had that experience. But we had a group of friends that their dad was driving around to all these different campuses. So I decided to tag along one day, and we hit some of these ones like UC Merced as well. And if it wasn't for that opportunity, honestly, I don't know where I'd be right now.
Well, I'm glad you're here. When I first heard you speak the first few times and got to know you a bit more personally and your story, I'm just like, how lucky we are to have Moses as a student. And then I've been able to meet more students like you. And it just gets me more and more excited, just like when I meet fantastic faculty members and staff members, people who are jewels here on this campus. And that is why I wanted to do this show, so that I could share you with the rest of the world. Let people know the great things that are going on here at Fresno State, and that we have students here that if you could get to know them, they will blow your mind away with how incredibly involved they are. Since you've been here at Fresno State, you've helped start, let's see, 4 different organizations, but you've been involved in 14. In addition to that, you do a lot of community service. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. I know you were a big part of the Helping Hands campaign. Tell us about that success.
You know, one thing that we pride here at Fresno State is the ability to give back to the community. And Ashley Rocker came on board, and one thing that we had to look at was our Give a Gobbler campaign that we do every year. But there was a shortage in turkey, so we, you know, rather than pay a certain amount per turkey, we said, let's focus more on something else where we could provide for more families. And we found Helping Hams was the best way to go, and they came up with the clever name.
But, you know,
it's a tongue twister. It is.
For sure.
It is. But, you know, one thing that we find was really interesting was we met our goal in the first day, and it continued to exceed and expand, and it's just another exemplification of Fresno State, the students, the faculty, the surrounding community, and their willingness and their desire to give back. And
yes,
I think that kind of plays into the whole feeling that when you step on a campus, it's not just Fresno State, it's Fresno City, it's the Central Valley, and it's just these abilities, being able to give back to families in need who maybe at some times can't support or do the nice things like a holiday dinner. Those little gestures, and that I think Fresno State students admire and they aspire to be able to achieve, that really makes the Fresno State students here special.
Did you get to participate in the actual distribution of the hams?
I participated in taking the hams from the freezer, and then we put them into the different trucks that they went off to their different areas. And there were just so many different organizations. We had so much money left that we were able to purchase more and give to other organizations and other communities that we didn't even look at.
Well, I know for one thing, those hams were delicious because I bought one for my mom, and my mom followed the directions to the T, and it was one of the best hams we've ever had. So I know that we didn't just give hams, we gave some fantastic tasting hams that were, you know, from Fresno State. I know during that time too, I spotted you in a Moose sweater. You were coming around along with other members of ASI. You did caroling for cans, and talk a little bit about that.
You know, Christmas is my favorite time of year, and for some reason, there's just something about once after Thanksgiving, I kind of get into that seasonal spirit, and so I have a couple Christmas sweaters. I actually made one this year.
Oh, you did? Was that the one with the tree?
Yeah, you know, the Christmas tree that lit up and had snowflakes on it, so I was able to do that, which is hand-stitched and everything.
It's a confident.
That's impressive.
It is a very confident guy who sports that sweater.
Yeah, love the Christmas season. So when they say we need somebody to go around and sing Christmas carols, you know, I was the first one on the list, and I wish I could do it again, actually. I'm hoping that I can. So one thing that's something that we love to do, and it really does just put a smile on everyone's face. You know, you're going around to the different campuses, singing as loud as you can, different Christmas carols.
Oh, you guys did a great job.
Thank you.
It was so fun for the president and I when you came into our suite, and we went out there, and we were singing along with you guys. Just your enthusiasm radiates. You know, it radiated off of everybody. And not only that you were doing something that was fun for you to do, but you were doing it for a good cause. How much food did you raise through Caroling for Cans?
I don't have the exact numbers, but we raised a ton. And then we just did a fundraiser before where we had a goal of 300 pounds of cans, and we got over 2,000. So that we've been able to do a lot is being able to provide these kind of revenues and these other supplements for the surrounding community. And I'm glad you enjoyed the enthusiasm, because I guarantee it wasn't the voices.
Well, I've also seen you at some food distributions at El Dorado Park, and I know that some of the cans that you raised in the different food drives that you did, the food went between Bulldog Pantry 1 and Bulldog Pantry 2. And I know when I was there, the excitement that the families that were receiving the bags, and how happy they are when they get to interact with students that are the ones who are distributing it to them. Especially in El Dorado Park, I saw a lot of little kids there with their parents and them interacting with the students. Tell me about the personal satisfaction you get when you do participate in something like that.
Yeah, I kind of think I'm a little selfish because I kind of do that because I love it. You know, the right. feeling, and one of the things you mentioned is the kids in El Dorado Park, and that's really what it's all about, and being able to sit around and talk with them and even just joke around with them, whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of the opportunities and the moments that I think Fresno State students really enjoy. And one of the interesting things was I went there for one of the Saturday distributions, and there were two girls that I had recognized, and they would came randomly to one in the past, and they said, oh yeah, we've been doing this every time now. Uh-huh. And I really think that's what it's all about, is students just, once they take that initiative and take yes. that first step, they find something they love, and they end up wanting to do it over and over, and it becomes kind of their baby and their joy. And whether, you know, waking up Saturday morning is not the ideal thing for a college student, but once they do it once, for some reason, there's just something that brings them back. And it's right. that ability to give back, put the smiles on the family's faces. But for me, it's always been the kids. And I think that's one thing that El Dorado Park does present for a lot of students, whether it's a Saturday sport and just going out and shooting hoops, or giving food distributions for cans and other goods. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely been a great opportunity and something I'm excited for in the coming years. And I hope it continues to grow.
Well, thank you for your leadership in that. And one of the clubs that you helped establish here at Fresno State is the Fresno State Gun Club. And I know that in learning about this club, the membership is 50% split between men and women, mm-hmm. which I think mm-hmm. is fantastic. And one of your goals is about safety and community service. I see members from the gun club at food distributions. I know they went and manned the truck to collect Toys for Tots in the middle of one of the coldest nights in the winter. So it's one of the fastest growing clubs here at Fresno State. You mm-hmm. must be really mm-hmm. proud of that.
It is. And one thing that I think we kind of cherished, me and the other co-founder, was that we wanted to start something that was beyond perception. And one of the things when we were sitting around and was talking was that there was a lot of negative raps about guns, and some of my best memories happened at gun ranges. And even some of the shoots that we had were all raising funds for the needy families. Mm-hmm. Some of the best times and the funnest times and some of the longest friends have all came from and surrounded by the participation of shooting guns. So what we wanted to do is provide students the opportunity to experience it. And we had our first students at the range day where we were able to take students like an international student from Africa who's never had the opportunity. And it was a lot of first-time pistol shooters, and it was a majority of women that actually overruled the amount of people that were there.
Right.
So I think it's a great opportunity. It's a really diverse organization. And one of the things that you've been able to see is that they are very active. And I think that's why they're one of the fastest growing clubs, because when they host a table, they're out there, they're excited, they all have smiles, they're talking to everybody. And when I was president, there wasn't a single day where we put out a table where we didn't get at least 30 people to sign up. And it's really something that I hope continues to grow because of their investment in the community and kind of showing kids that there's other venues, there's other opportunities, and that education really is a key in order to kind of be removed from anything negative and their key out. I always tell my sisters, right. it's your free escape, you know, to go mm-hmm. anywhere you want. And if you do well enough, everything will be paid. And so I think that's one thing that the Gun Club really cherishes, is the ability to provide safety, to give back through community service, and just to kind of show that, you know, there's other components to shooting than what the negative raps that is getting in media.
And it's been a positive way for you to bring together students who have that common interest, that it's been something that they grew up with in their family, with mm-hmm. their father, grandfather, mother, what do mm-hmm. you know, that it's part of their culture, and can show all of the positive ways that you can keep connected with it. I know that you are hoping to go into politics someday, mm-hmm. and that the path towards that, you believe, is going to law school, mm-hmm. and Stanford mm-hmm. is where you have your sights on. So I wish you luck in that.
Thank you. Thank
I'm
you.
Excited that you're going to be graduating May 2015, because that means we get another year with you here. And you just received a big scholarship from the Auxiliary Organization Association in Sacramento. Tell us what you did for that.
So this is the first year that they had the scholarship, and it's really just been a great opportunity to kind of showcase everything and all the experiences that I've had at Fresno State. So it was a simple application, resume, mm-hmm. And I was able to be the first recipient of the award. So great opportunity for Fresno State to showcase just one student out of the many great students that we have.
Right.
And one of the great things was they paid for my trip up to Sacramento. I was able to sit next to Chancellor White at the reception, and then I received a plaque. But for me, it was more of just a reflection of everything that I've been able to accomplish, the great opportunities that Fresno State's been able to give me. And with that, I'll be able to say that I'm going to graduate debt-free.
Oh, you know, and that is a wonderful thing for you to be able to say. And that's another thing that's
huge. That's so mm-hmm. you know, incredible.
So many students are afraid of how they're going to make it happen. And when I think of you, Moses, I think of watching when they would have a game show and they'd have this kind of a booth that you'd go into and the money would blow up and people would grab the money. But when I think of you, I think of you're in that booth and there's opportunities blowing around you. And you are the person who gets in there and you are just going for it. You're going as fast as you can. And it's paid off. Because to be able to graduate debt-free, that's a fantastic achievement that you've done, along with the contributions that you've done to Fresno State and that I know you're going to continue to do. And I'm so proud that you're a student here, and I'm really happy that I've had the opportunity to meet you. And I know that President Castro feels the same way. Thank you so much for your leadership.
Thank you, Mrs. Castro.
So, Moses, let's let our listeners know how to get in touch with you, anyone who might be interested in becoming involved with Associated Students Incorporated, maybe those who are interested in the Fresno State Gun Club that you started, or even just for some general questions, maybe an email address, your Facebook account, or maybe that infamous Twitter account of yours.
So me and President Castro are in a competition for Twitter followers, and he's winning. So if any student or any individual would help me out in this effort, you could follow me on Twitter, at Moses Armenchaka. You could also like me on Facebook. Also, if you want to get involved, the way you could email me is asi-president@csufresno.com.
And we'll get all that stuff posted on the KFSR Facebook page as well. So.
Well, thank you, Julie, and I'm looking forward to those followers.
Thank you so much for taking time to be here today. It's been a pleasure getting to know you better, and thank you for taking time out of your busy day. And thanks to all our listeners joining us this morning. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.